better. Yep. It goes back to me being on the verge of bankruptcy with the hog crash in 98. And we were trying to do everything we could to not file for bankruptcy, to stay on the farm and to continue farming. So I started a deer outfitter. And one of the hunters that came in was Carrie Zelka. She's on social media. Yep. She was doing a large hunting podcast. And as we got talking about that, I thought, well, we'll do a podcast where I've got hunting stories. You know, it's funny. I've got a whole notebook of funny hunting stories. But if you weren't there, you don't know the people. Yeah. They're the dumbest stories in the world. So, and then the next, we interviewed Carl Armstrong from Canada. And I could not believe how much that blew up.
Ladies and gentlemen, farmers, ranchers, and distinguished guests, thank you for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast, where we discuss the latest ideas, methods, trends, and techniques available to help your farm achieve higher levels of farm profitability. The Farm for Profit podcast is co-hosted by Tanner Winterhoff, the Iowa Bankerman, and David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, where in tandem, they will share their ideas and advice from industry experts. Thank you again for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast. Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long. And now, here's Tanner and David.
And welcome back to the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
And we have a room full today. This is exciting. I can't wait to get to the introductions. But first, listeners, thank you so much for joining us on our year-end episode. This is not going to be a typical Farm for Profit episode, and this is not going to be a typical Farm for Fun, because it's time to celebrate making it through 2021. I accidentally rhymed there.
What is this, 2 years now, Tanner?
Two and a half. Yep, two and a half, but two really with Corey. That really has propelled us.
One and a half.
Yeah. So from two mics in my basement to what do we got here? Six mics and a huge soundboard and a whole table that's 8 foot long.
We're still running out of mics. You had to bring one from home.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you again for suggesting topics to us. If you've got any ideas, keep them coming. farmforprofitllc@gmail.com and find us all over social media. Corey, we also thank our listeners for leaving behind reviews.
Yeah, today's listener review is brought to you by Gearinghoff. Remember, they are the head of the class, no matter the crop, with their premium harvesting heads.
And today's listener review is at @central_Iowa_ is it Rain Age? Is that how you say that? I like this kind of conversation. Thumbs up, guys.
So this guy I've seen a lot, and I always want to say drainage. I think that's what it means, but is it drainage or is it rainage?
It's probably drainage.
He also does some irrigation, some underground irrigation drip.
Okay.
So it could be along the same lines. But anyways, listeners, thanks for leaving those behind. It might be you that gets yours read on this show. And don't forget, we are now at the last couple of days of using the code FARM4PROFIT at OutbackWrap.com. To get 20% off.
That's the largest discount they offer.
It is, currently.
Except for Black Friday, but you missed
hooking
that
up, made easy.
You might have missed Christmas, but there's always Valentine's Day. So get your sweetie.
Get your hose wrapped.
So couldn't have said it better myself.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That is awesome. OutbackWrap.com. But now, to the guests in studio, we have three guests. We have the man, the myth, the legend, Rob Sharkey. And the woman behind everything he's become, his wife, Emily. And super fan, according to Rob, Sammy. So welcome to the studio, folks.
Previous guest, Sammy, as well. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Took a lot of money to get him here.
Jeez. That's where all my Christmas money went.
That check better not bounce either.
Oh, you haven't tried that yet?
That's why I told you I couldn't Venmo it. No, but Rob is known in the digital circles as the shark farmer. For you that have not met or heard of him, he's not your average Illinois grain farmer. He's a disruptor who is unwavering in his ability to directly address controversial topics.
Actually, Emily and I were just talking about how much we hated that bio.
I was going to say, did you just pull this off the internet?
I purposely did that because I remember reading this bio when I first learned about the podcast, and I don't think it's changed.
No, it has not.
Since then.
I was never really a fan of it, but somehow it stayed on.
What about part two? Rob tackles life alongside his high school sweetheart, Emily, knowing four smaller sharks are in the school being impacted by their choices.
Yeah, that's
fish, school, sharks. It's pretty catchy.
It actually is not. But here we are talking about an awkward bio.
And one of those baby sharks edits our podcast.
Yes,
now.
He does. Makes my job a lot easier.
I suppose you guys love that song.
Baby Shark.
No, it's so bad. Yeah.
We love it.
It's like when you're sleeping, taking a nap, and someone puts a needle in your ear, and you feel something in your ear, and you go to take it out, but you actually push it in further. That's what that song is to us.
Well, yeah. Rob, I tell you, Tanner, when we were starting this deal, he says, have you heard Rob Shark yet? And no, I haven't, because I didn't listen to podcasts, and we were doing one. Since then, ever since we've done podcasts, I tell anybody that we do a podcast, they're like, hey, do you listen to The Shark Farmer? I'm like, yep, we got one too, but yep. And so every time that I've ever told anybody that we do one, your name gets brought up. Yeah. So quite the name out there. So great job.
And Rob, it's 100% your fault that we even have one. Yes. So if there's people out there that are like, really? God, why don't these people ever shut up? We started it because you had a podcast and you were encouraging people to share their voice. So thanks for the motivation.
And now on our podcast, how many people have started one since us? Tony Reed, Bushels and Barrels, the other guys over to
Beers
Carol.
In the shop.
Beers in the shop. Yep.
So no, a little, you're trendsetter, Rob.
Yeah, that's what I set out to be.
Trailblazer. Yes. That's what the new bio should be.
Yeah, trailblazer, not disruptor.
Emily's taking notes. She's got this.
I think it's the birth of the new era of ag media, for sure.
Yeah, and
the pioneers right get all here. The arrows.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, our timing was perfect. We hit it right off the bat when we started the podcast. It really, in ag media, there wasn't anything like it, because what's ag media? It's weather, it's markets, and it's maybe, oh, so and so is going to be raising a new crop on his farm. But so when we did this, it was completely new, and our timing couldn't have been better.
Wow, that's great. We're excited to have both of you in studio, because this is our year-end show, and if everybody goes back to the first show of 2021, I made a New Year's resolution. We kind of challenged our listeners to do the same, and mine was to keep track of all of the top traits that the top-performing farmers have in common. So we ask every one of our guests on each of our shows to share with us who they think their top or most successful people that surround them are and what they all have in common. So we're going to recap what everybody has said this year, and it's a pleasure to have you here, because we know that you have spoken to a lot of very successful people. Notice that I didn't say you are the most successful farmer.
Well, thank you.
Just that you've talked to them, right? Yeah. So we're excited to reflect on what we've done in 2021. And see if we can't get a good summary put together for our listeners today.
So if you're going to 2022 and you're thinking, hey, let's make a New Year's resolution like Tanner did, and let's make sure we catalog all these throughout the year, it's okay to fail, because Tanner did too. So if you have a mom named Lynn, like Tanner does, that actually cataloged them all for us, shout out to Lynn.
That's what Superfan Sammy would do.
Uh-huh. It's okay, Tanner. I'm sure you're not the only one that failed at your New Year's resolution.
What did we gain there, Corey? 10
pounds?
15? Yeah.
You can be on the mic, Sammy, if you want. You're welcome to contribute.
Yeah, why don't you push that away?
It's literally the first time I've ever seen you quiet.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, here we are.
Perfect.
Ta-da!
So I tried, for the goodness of the order, to categorize these, because if you can imagine, we have 52... different answers that are provided. So the first one that I put into a category is people, teamwork, and advisory teams. Dave and I, in our very, very first show, started preaching about having an advisory team. And ever since then, it just seems to continually come back, whether that's your banker, your lawyer, crop insurance agent, your agronomist, your podcast host. We think that advisory team is quite key. One of the fun ones that Dave and I enjoyed most recently was with Vance Crow. So I'm sure you're familiar with Vance.
Vance Crow.
Uh-huh.
Who is that?
Yeah.
We should take the mic back away from Sam.
Mute.
That was episode 64, right, Tanner?
Yep, that was one of our most recent ones. He said the willingness to be mentored is one of the traits that the most successful people have in common.
And this is something that echoed throughout the last 2 years of podcast, Tanner. Every time we asked somebody, whether that was their direct answer, somebody always mentioned having a team. Nobody did it themselves. There was no loan sharks out there that just did it themselves.
Yeah. Shark reference.
Shark reference. How many of those? We should, if we're going to start the old time drinking game back up.
That might be it.
Well, yeah,
how many times
have
we met some sharks? That would work.
Okay, but lone wolf.
But in your travels and the people that you've talked to, have you kind of seen that? Is the teamwork, the team player, the advisory team, and the people that you've talked to, do they rely on more than just themselves to get through?
Yeah, we've talked to people that preach this left and right. It's funny. We have also talked to some very successful people that have not want to be influenced by other people. So I don't know if there's a silver bullet answer there or not. I think the willingness to be mentored is going to make it easier in a lot of things. But I don't know. What do you think, Em?
Oh, I think that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that you guys are successful might have something to do with them. And so I'm going to say that the most successful people probably get help from someone else. So I'm going to echo it just seeing both of your smiles in the room.
I think that's true because Rob's the creative one. And I think when you're the creative person and you're coming up with original content all the time, you have to have people behind you that are doing all the other things.
Well, anybody that knows what we do knows that you're, I know what I am. I'm a very, very creative person. My mind does not work in the business sense like hers does. So it took me a long time to realize that I wasn't necessarily dumb because I never got good grades. I don't read very well, so school was always a struggle for me. So when you go through your entire life, you know, being judged by your grades and that, you kind of get this mindset. It was probably until I was 40 that I started to realize, hey, you know, I'm not as dumb as I've been told my whole life. And I think once I started to realize that, that's when I started to prioritize what I could do. I'm very good at doing this. I'm not good at doing this. And that's when Emily moves in. She is brilliant on the business side of it and the negotiations. So it allows me to just sit there and be creative.
I got one of those two. His name's Tanner.
Oh, I'm blushing.
I think in this one too, it's a couple other of them, Jim MacArthur, Field Rose, and Regan at Rocking Our Cross Cattle.
Yeah.
Kind of both said, it's not, I'm going to paraphrase here, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? Yeah. It's like it's your network of people. And I'm sure you guys have, once you started your podcast, things just start rolling, right? Once you know the right people and then you get in the right category, as long as you're doing your job, they're going to help you out.
Like Regan said in his, he said, be a businessman first. If the numbers don't work, don't do it. So when it came to farming, we've talked with a lot of people, Tanner, Corey, throughout the whole time that said that, and they were maybe not in the farming, but they said the people that they saw, they thought of the business first. They weren't just the boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And I go back to our episode with Chad Hudson about how you can set your farm up for growth and have that growth mentality of 10x versus just 1x. And the parting comment that he left with us is eliminate the people and things that bring you down.
He was the plumber, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, plumber on an ag podcast. You ever had one of those, Rob?
I believe we did. Oh no, it was probably on XM.
It's a dirty job.
We have okay.
So that's the people, teamwork, kind of advisory. What other ones do we have, Tanner?
Well, I tried to. This next one was really hard for me to put into a category, but I just put good character or being a good person is kind of what summarizes up the next category that we put together, and I would say that is what Rob, Sammy, and Emily, in my opinion, symbolize. Is I could have said no back when I started asking questions about what equipment to use and best software to broadcast your podcast. He wasn't too big to tell us, go fly a kite or just ignore us. He tried to help us out, just a real good person type of thing. And same with Sammy. I moved to this area, didn't have any friends, and through Corey. And
still don't.
Still don't.
Owners. Damn, bankers.
You have to pay for your friends.
Probably be a banker. Yeah, I was just going to make the joke myself. Yeah, you beat me to that one. But just being a good person, I think that goes a long way.
Does that have anything to do with like being born into it? Remember the guy from Canada? I can't remember who the guy that was on our deal. But
Andy Pastor.
Andy Pastor is who it was. Yeah, Mr. Clean himself. He says, what's the most successful farmers have in common? He said, well, they were born into it and their daddy's got a lot of land. That helps.
It doesn't hurt. It does not hurt.
Or they found their wife in the flatboat.
That was one of my favorites. He just said it exactly how it was.
Yeah, but that was one of the most recent shows we did. was with Justin Nunley. So Justin Danger Nunley from TikTok. And he said that the best people never talk down or look down upon anybody. So that was a lot of fun. And he felt that same way with his new stardom, that a lot of people reached out to support and help him down the path that he's going to go next.
I feel bad for that guy. From now on, everybody who ever meets him is going to say, hey, it's going to get old. Yeah. But congratulations to him and the stardom. Delaney Howell had something like that too. It was just challenge yourself. Never take the status quo. And that's, we've kind of lived by that. We've tried to challenge ourselves with this podcast. I know that. Mm-hmm.
When you've had the opportunity, Emily, to get to meet and hear some of the guests that you've had on your podcast, does it stick out during an interview if a person is just good people? I mean, I'm not asking for names, but can you tell when an interview's done what type of a person they are?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why we like what we do so much, because every day we're hearing a new story. And I think, like, early on when Rob started his podcast, when he first started, it was kind of a learning curve. And he always said, you know, the biggest thing we have to do is listen. Because, you know, like when he started, he's like, okay, I had like this list of questions that I wanted to do each time. And he's like, okay, I wasn't listening. And so that was the biggest thing for us, is like just listening to people's story. And as you hear it unravel, if you listen and you don't have a list of your own questions and you hear what they want to tell you, oh my gosh, there's so many great people out there, especially in farming and ag. I mean, they're always ready to help each other. They're always like pivoting and doing something new or bouncing ideas off of each other. And every day we have good people. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, you guys get that listening to podcasts. You have the questions written down that maybe you think you're going to go, and then it goes a different way. I remember, Off-Farm Income podcast, Matt, he said something like that, just be present. So oftentimes I find myself listening more to the guest, and like, which way do they want to go with this scenario versus let's go the direction that we thought. And you get a whole lot better conversations that way.
So I think it was Jared McDaniel, when we had him on, he said, talk about listening. And that really resonated with me. You know, I'm not a professional at this, but you're always trying to think of the next question. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, there's three of us here, right? Like, someone else can think of the question. Just listen and have the conversation.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, Rob, being a single host, being the sole host of your podcast. At least with us, we can kind of ride the others as a crutch to where if I wasn't listening, I can rely on these other two guys to jump in. But you're on your own.
Honestly, as I think about that, I look at it as an advantage, right? Because if I'm just talking with you and I'm sitting there digesting what you said, I mean, I got that second or two to come up with a response to it, to where you do have the other people jumping in. I don't know. To me, it seems easier, but I think that's probably more of a personality trait than anything.
Mm-hmm. It certainly provides a lot of different opportunities, and it took a lot of practice for the three of us to not speak over each other. And kind of like you described, now I might get the shows mixed up, with Emily giving air traffic signals through the glass window. We've got hand signals too, to where we know if I got something I really want to say, these other guys will stop and wait until
you guys
time.
Were way
what
worse.
What exactly
at that.
Is that signal?
You don't do it as much anymore. When I first came on, like you and Dave, you had your own hieroglyphics or sign language or something.
Yeah, we're getting better at it. I remembered a couple of the shows that you did, Rob, if I'm not mistaken it for others, that there were some wildfires. Was it Oklahoma or Kansas? And, mm-hmm. and you had a couple of guys on, and there ended up being a lot of donations shipped. That was a pretty good example of just plain old good people.
Yeah, it is. You know, they say no good deed goes unpunished. And, you know, every time you do something like that, I tell you what, the criticism comes harsh at it. And I think you just have to ignore that and realize you are trying to help people, because automatically people think, well, you're trying to, you know, take advantage of a situation for people to download your podcast. And that really wasn't the case. I mean, honestly, with the original ones, I didn't think anybody was really going to listen to it. But I will say, when you said, or I talked to you about how to get started the podcast, I'm glad that I did. I mean, we get hit up all the time. And there was a point to where we kind of threw up our hands and stopped doing that, because, you know, you would put a lot of time and effort into somebody that would maybe do two podcasts and quit. or that really weren't serious about it. We went for quite a while with really not really answering many of those calls just because we'd been burned too many times. We're starting to again, but I'm glad when you called, we released Willing to Help.
I'm glad, and I'm glad that we've stuck around and at least made it this long. Mm-hmm. And I don't see us stopping anytime soon. But that reminds me of what Scott from the Foundry, one of our most fun episodes is we actually recorded live on site at a distillery. And they have the ability to make your own custom whiskey, vodka. I think they would do bourbon. But you could bring your own corn in. You could bring your own wheat, your own rye, your own barley.
Make your own logo.
Yep, could make your own logo on the bottle and get a whole batch together, which was a lot of fun. But he basically said, if you're going to do something, be honest about it, whatever you do, and do it well. So it kind of goes the realm of, you know, it'd be hard to not start this podcast or someone to start a podcast if they want to be successful and not go all in and try and do it to the best of your ability.
Maybe we need a joint show where we just... do a podcast on how to build a podcast, and then it will live forever. And anytime somebody calls you, just say, hey,
here's the
go link. To episode 46. It's, here's a link. We got it. It's yeah. Here's the equipment. Here's yeah. the stuff. Podcast on how to do a podcast.
Well, I do think you guys would agree, too, because this influencer space, and you call that word what it is. It's you want to monetize what you're doing. The first thing the companies look at is how serious you are at it. Mm-hmm. And if you're only putting out 4 podcasts over 6 months or whatever, they're not going to go with you. And I think that is a big mistake that a lot of people don't understand. If you're going to take it seriously, I mean, Emily and I, this is a business to us. If you're going to do something like that, you have got to put in the effort every single time.
Well, and Rob said he was going to put out a new podcast every Tuesday. And we're on what week are we on?
193 or 4.
Yeah, it's been a long time and we have not missed a Tuesday. And we have lost podcasts and been up all night. You mm-hmm. lost a podcast one time when you were first starting out and you're like, I'm doing this. I'm doing this every Tuesday. So if I have to stay up all night and fix what I just did, we're doing it. And I think that consistency has helped because people look to having a new podcast every Tuesday. And if you deliver, you've got those people who are going to listen every week. So
are you recording every week or do you got some in the queue?
No, we don't go ahead very often.
Really?
The one actually we just did before this is 2 weeks ahead. That's about as early as we ever
if go. We know we're traveling, we'll tape ahead, and you have to do that. You know, if you know you're going to be speaking somewhere or traveling out of state or whatever, we're ahead a couple weeks.
But XM shows, well, I mean, sometimes we'll do 5 a day just if we're going to be gone a week or something.
Well, that goes right along with Brady Smith and what he said. I think it was episode 126, persistence and perseverance.
I applaud you because we got pre-harvest and got a nice weather gap to where we could record, and I think we batch recorded like 6 weeks and just so we could all be in the field and not worry about it. But I agree, the consistency is huge.
And when we started, it was 40 minutes or so. And now I plan, if Tanner says we got to come in, it's like 2:00 and we'll be out of here at 8 p.m. So it's like a long time. I just tell my wife, I will not be home this afternoon. And that's how it's going to go. They've got longer and longer and longer.
Well, shows are great, but then you learn even more after, right?
Yeah,
after you shut the mics off.
Yep.
Can I just say, though, as an outsider, not as a podcast host, that the consistency is really key because at the Cube Life, I looked forward to every Tuesday. Needed that Tuesday podcast to come out because my Cube Life job was terrible. And knowing on Tuesday that I had that light, it was good.
Did you call it a light?
I was the light at the end of a very dark tunnel in my cubicle, okay? It was a Sharp Farmer podcast that kept me going.
Must be the Christmas light she's got on her head right now.
You're probably wanting more frequency than in the cube.
When I was in the cube, yeah.
Well, ours comes out on Monday, so you could take care of Monday with our podcast.
If I was in a boring cube again, I would applaud it.
I might start one on farmland, so that could be Wednesdays for you. We fill
Please
your week
fill
up.
My week up, yes.
Yeah. The last one I'm going to read in that category was from EBT, Elizabeth Burns Thompson. She said, out of the people that she knew, the busiest people always seem to get the most done.
That is an amen.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not just being busy, because I know busy people, and I'm using air quotes.
And this one might be off topic, but I don't want to miss it. And that's Jen Hartman. She's a marketing director at John Deere, correct, guys?
Mm-hmm.
And that was episode 139. And I love the quote. I've lived by it ever since. She said, don't worry about what you post, just engage. And so when it comes to social media world, and we want to talk about what the most successful people have, I like took that for salt, was like, hey, just engage. I don't care about what you post. Don't care about what somebody thinks about you. Engage. And I have done that, and it's done well for me anyway on my social media side.
Well, and Emily just got done saying it applies to real life too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. A long, long time ago, Rob and I said, when we go places and they ask about life and traveling and doing what we do, we're like, we're not going to say we're busy. We try really hard to not say, well, we're really busy. Because every time you see somebody, everybody feels really busy. Everybody's really busy, right? Nobody wants to hear that. So we tried really hard to stop saying that and just say what life is, what we're doing, and yeah, it's insane. But if you love what you're doing, then, you know, you make it happen. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, that was Dave Head. I did read that one. Dave Head from Outback Rap said the same thing. The most successful people love what they do. They're not working. They have fun doing it.
Jen Hartman wouldn't come on my podcast. How'd you guys get that done?
Begged.
That's when Corey came around. He's the social influencer of the group. He's connected with everybody. His DMs are blown up like every day. He's like the biggest.
We did learn that you can't bribe her, though, because we wanted to send her the beer and the t-shirt and the package, and she can't accept those. So you can't even bribe her.
She would not. Well, you know,
you kind of called her out.
It might have been What the Farm. She wouldn't come on. Either way, she wouldn't come on.
What the Farm.
Wow.
She was the sole reason that we have the 8R and 9Rs, and you only have the 7R.
Wow.
Hey, Rob, your hair looks nice.
Thank you, Sammy.
That's good. And the perfect transition into the next group that I tried to separate out, and that was continual learning and the willingness to change. I think we heard that a lot in most of the guests that we had, whether they answered it directly in their question or they demonstrated it based upon their story. So whether they were telling us how they went from being a row crop farmer to also including livestock, or they went and switched jobs completely. You know, there's a lot of scary things that these people have done, but yet they've learned all along the way. And you know, we used Vance Crow earlier.
Yeah, he's there again.
He is again. And he just said, well, when you listen to Vance, it feels like everything that comes out of that guy's mouth is worth putting down on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think this is the most commented answer that we had was this, is the willingness to change and be open to it.
Yeah, that's how we paid Rob, is Vance is paying us to say that. So
I'm a big fan. I am a big fan of Vance's.
I love his wife. She's fantastic.
Oh, we didn't get to meet his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at that.
TJ Masker with Tractor Zoom. That was a really fun episode around deciding if you should purchase or lease, or if you should go a different route with your machinery and equipment. But he said the most successful people he knew had a deep, deep curiosity to ask why.
Tim Hammerich said that too.
One of his points was see it through someone else's eyes. Wait, I don't know if you guys get this on your podcast, but I swear I learn more from the podcast by asking people questions and make me second guess the way that I thought to start with, because everybody's got their own opinion, they got their own moral beliefs, etc. But seeing it through someone else's eyes as we interview people, I never thought about it that way. And that makes you pause for a second. Well, that was one that he said, is when we're looking at farming, we get this old school. We always did it that way. We've always done it that way. So this was a big one for me when it came to farming with Tim. So
Rob, I would put you in that category, and I'm just making an assumption because you were a farmer. You still are a farmer, but you then felt a desire to start sharing agriculture's message. But I'm sure you didn't know how to do that in the beginning. So it probably took a deep curiosity to figure out how to start a podcast, what mediums to go on, and then when you made it to TV, am I on?
Yeah, it is just a ladder. I think you climb as life, and I think when you stop wanting to reach that next rung, I think that is when you either plateau or you start going down. And everything we do, it seems to lead into something else. You know, the podcast into the XM, we never knew how to do radio, and that is a big difference. I mean, once you start having to constrict the time, once you have to learn how to load the bumper music in at a specific time and like that, we didn't know how to do to any of it. We didn't know how to transmit right back up to XM. That just led into the television show. Zero experience with that. You know, now we are in the process of building the TV studio on our farm. So it just seems like it just keeps going up the ladder, and I don't want to stop climbing.
You know, you said earlier that you maybe 40 years old before you thought, I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. I just had to figure out what I'm good at. Well, I have ADD all day long, so it's this, then that, then this, then that. Machinery Pete was one of our guests, and one that he said was be able to admit when you're wrong was a commonality of the most successful people. And I've thought about that. I looked at resumes that I put out, and it says attention to detail. I'm like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have that on the old resume anymore. Maybe I should just say really motivated, and that is my key. Or, you know, so being able to admit when you're wrong or realize that that isn't your strong strength. That's your strong. I don't know if that's a word. Your
strong suit.
Strong suit. Yeah, there you go.
I like that though. Strong strength.
Yeah. I love Machinery Pete. Yep. We talked to Machinery Pete when we were first getting started, and his biggest thing to us was he's like, follow the light, follow what makes you happy and what you like to do. Follow mm-hmm. the light, and we did. And he was so great. He's one of these guys who just would talk on the phone with you for an hour and give you advice and. He's the real deal.
I was telling these guys, I want to do Land Pete, except it's Land Dave instead. And I just go around and do the same thing, but land values. Yep.
So I'm curious. I don't want to miss the opportunity. So the years leading up to your starting your podcast, what was your inspiration? What made you want to do it?
I also run a deer outfitter. Yep. It goes back to me being on the verge of bankruptcy with the hog crash in 98. And we were trying to do everything we could to not file for bankruptcy, to stay on the farm and to continue farming. So I started a deer outfitter, and one of the hunters that came in was Carrie Zelka. She's on social media. Yep. She was doing a large hunting podcast. And as we got talking about that, I thought, well, we'll do a podcast where I've got hunting stories. You know, it's funny. I've got a whole notebook yep. of funny hunting stories. But if you weren't there, you don't know the people. Yeah. They're the dumbest stories in the world. So, and then the next, we interviewed Carl Armstrong from Canada, and I could not believe how much that blew up. We launched 3 podcasts in the first day, and the hunting ones did okay. The one with Carl, I think, got 1,000 downloads the very first day. So this was brand new podcast. Yeah. So it didn't take long to realize I needed to pivot.
Talk about pivot. They're a Principal Financial Group. It was, is it Jessman?
Jessman, yeah.
Is that who said that? He said that big farms are made up of little farms that failed to plan. And so, you know, when you think, think about how.
That's kind of harsh.
Big farm, you know, so make sure you're planning ahead. And that was right with that willingness to change. If they don't want to change and get stuck in the gear. Well, yeah. Then guess what? Now big farms are made up of a whole lot of little farms.
I want to chase this because Emily about spit her drink out, and I want to know what was going through her mind.
It's harsh. It's mean. No, I know what you're saying. You do have to plan, but
I tell you, one of the biggest pivot stories that I love to hear is when I first met Sammy, and you were in the cube of hell. You hated your job. That's how I remember meeting you, is because you were doing Snapchats, and they were literally the funniest damn thing because you were talking about what's going on with the insurance and all the stupid claims and that. You pivoted though, and it's been so much fun to see you turn so much into a happier person because of it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I started out in ag and took a break, and I went completely away from ag, and I wasn't happy, but I had to find my happiness, and I wasn't going to stop until I found it.
That's when Tanner and I joined our three-way group on Snapchat. And
our three-way chat.
Three-way chat.
Yeah. I will say, your Snapchats are good now, but it was gold.
They were pretty top-notch. So I had a lot of time on my hands, yeah. And I had a lot to say. So bless you guys for sticking through it, because there was a lot of rants that went on. My goodness.
It sounds like you go right in line with what Bodie Kitchell said. He said, don't accept the status quo. So even though you were in a boring ass cube,
you weren't
going to let it tear you down.
It tried, though. Yeah. And I tried taking people down with me, too. But
you were legit not happy.
Things were not well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not good.
That comes down to the last one that I'll say in this category is from Elena Montemagni, which if you looked at her last name, you would not be able to pronounce it like it is supposed to, but Loop River Distillery was the first liquor company to take a chance on us during our Farm for Fun shows. But she said, don't be afraid to try something new, whether it's for you in business or in life. So that was a good one. And I take that one to heart because that's what the podcast was for us. I'd never been on a mic. I'd never even thought about producing something like that, let alone stand in front of groups of people.
And she's living that up because she literally pivoted and completely is... Yeah. Where's she at?
Idaho.
Yeah, selling...
Dairy products.
Dairy products and animal drugs.
Goes from Granular, a data company, to selling dairy products.
Yeah. I think she just went out there on vacation to the mountains and had the Yellowstone fever and never came back and started looking for jobs.
You know, she was working for Granular and yeah. You couldn't go in the office, so she was literally taking her computer and going and working from the beach in Florida.
Yeah, or,
you know, and
Airbnbs.
It sounds rough.
It does, yeah. That would have been fun to be a young... single professional in 2020 just going around doing that.
It would have been fun, but that's a good segue. There wasn't a good segue, but we're gonna go into the next one.
We're gonna make it.
This is how it looks.
So where are you going with love?
Hard work, dedication is where I was heading, but I don't see any of that if you're on a beach doing something there.
I think you could. I don't know why Rob's building the TV studio at the farm. You should just make a travel tour to all the TV studios around the world.
So as we pivot to hard work and dedication, so when we started our podcast, so it was Tanner and I and Corey came in as well. So Tanner's the hard work side of this because he puts
that is very obvious.
And I'm just the dedication. He's like, you got to be here at 4:00. I'm like, I will be rolling in on two wheels, but I will be there doggone it every time. So he's the hard work side. I'm the dedication and it works out.
And then there's Corey.
Right.
Not hard work, not dedicated.
Originally, we just had it as a random farmer named Corey, and then it was no random farmer anymore. Then it was co-host Corey.
Yeah,
the leader now.
Leader. I wouldn't say that.
Uh-huh. The inspiration.
The dynamics. Spark. Fascinating.
Spark plug.
I know. It's so fun.
I might be some of the ideas behind some of the shenanigans.
There you go. Well, Andrew Blake's Hard Cider, came on the show, and his first thing was, you show up every day and put in the work. So I think that's what you're alluding to, Dave, is kind of what you mentioned is you have a show that comes out every Tuesday. You haven't missed a Tuesday. That's the same way that we've been. We haven't missed a Monday. And it hasn't always been easy, and they sometimes aren't always great. But we do get something out every single Monday. But I would say out of my client base, the people that I work with through the banking world and consulting, the fact that they do. They're always working. Some, I say, would work too much. But I could see that being a trait.
And I'm going to say it's maybe tougher. I'm going to pull the flag out and say we might have it a little tougher with three hosts, and you got a banker's schedule, a farmer's schedule, and a realtor's schedule, and they all have to meet. And I if there's only one host, now I'm sure you have a team that helps you, but man, having three of us meet up at the same time and harvest and auction season and banking financials, oh man, it's sometimes we record four at a time just so we get ahead.
So when you, Rob, and Emily are putting together, planning through the shows that you have, which one of you is the driver? Who really keeps it moving, or is it pretty even?
Well, Shark Farmer Podcast, I would say I probably take the point on. The XM show, Emily is the producer. She definitely takes the point. Actually, Shark Farmer is the only thing I would say I would take point on. Yeah. The TV show, the PBS show, that is all Emily taking the point on that. I'd say What the Farm. Leslie does a lot of the guest on that. So, yeah, I literally do one out of all of them. It's just me.
Have you ever wanted to just stop, just be done?
Nope. No, it's never crossed my mind. Actually, I just want to do more. Because there's not enough hours in a day. I wish I could do more. And what I get frustrated at is the inability to get more done in the time that I've got. It just pisses me off.
We have 10 more ideas, so after the show, stick around.
I want to know, when do you have time to actually farm, or are you leveraging?
Let me tell you a story.
So we got the XM show, right?
Yep.
And we're planting corn, and you're a farmer, right? What don't you do during planting season?
Stop.
You don't stop.
Yeah.
The planter does not stop. We were to a point where we needed to be on air, and the planter stopped. And I'm just sitting there cursing and rehearsing, and I'm just whining the whole time. And Emily gives me a quick economics lesson of what time is worth. So after that, after coming to a realization of reality, I've got no problem stopping a combine, no problem stopping a planter, because it is more valuable to do the other stuff.
To me, that really parallels with what Naeem said. So Naeem has invented a new product to monitor the quality of your grain in the grain bin, not only just through temperature, but he's got like 65 sensors to make sure that your grain, whatever you're storing, stays in condition. But he says that the most successful people he knows all have passion. And it sounds like that's what both you and Emily have, is, you know, if there hasn't ever been a time to just say, I'm done, I quit, you obviously really enjoy this and you really see the value that you're bringing to others through the production. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our time, I mean, luckily we have everything close so we can run between the house and the shed and work on everybody else's schedule, right? When everybody has time to tape and when we can hear somebody's story. So yeah, we're kind of 24/7 always working, but we have the kids, all four kids, you know, around close too. So they're a part of it. The PBS show that we do now is only 45 minutes away, where the other show's in Nashville. So the kids are a part of each show in a different way, but you know, they can come in, meet our guests, and kind of help the next generation get going in farming and communications too. So that's been fun.
Our focus now is honestly Emily's time, because I need her to do some of the more important things. You know, we have worked with a, I don't know what we call them, an agency or whatever, because the little things like drawing up the contracts for a speech or something, it just takes too much of her time. These frickin' t-shirts. I can't tell you how much I hate t-shirts. It's not even funny. We give them away. We don't sell the t-shirts. And you would think, all right, that's fine. It was part of our marketing budget. It has been one of the biggest headaches for Emily, these stupid t-shirts. So actually, after the first of the year, we're no longer going to do the t-shirts. We're just going to shop that out to somebody else. But you think you're giving someone a free t-shirt that they would be happy and nice? No. It's like, we don't have them in stock right now. You know, that size, we'll have to wait. They get so mad at her. And then, okay, look, all right, I'll show
I was sitting there going, I've got t-shirts for you guys to take back.
It's just become such a headache for her.
And well, I believe it.
And it drives me nuts that here we are trying to give away free t-shirts. And the headache and the people that are mean about it,
we could just make a new one here for hard work and dedication. We'll reverse what Uppy said. Uppy from, you know, down under, Andrew Uphill. He said, find what you like to do and do it. There's could be find what you don't like to do and get rid of it. We'll just reverse what he said.
That reminds me of when we were doing the Burkhart auction last year, and Tanner and I were doing a lot of the cataloging. People were calling and saying, well, this description is off by a color or a word or something. It's like, we are doing this for charity.
I know.
For charity. And you are calling us and bitching us out. And it's like, really?
Yeah, you know that it's green. Why do you care that it said red?
This is a donation of my time. I am not making a thing from this.
Yeah. Well, it looks like your mom, I must like quotes, because your mom wrote down a couple of my quotes on here. I was just going to say, Emily, this is what it is. Opportunities missed by most because it's dressed in overalls and looks like hard work. Thomas Edison, I must have said it back in episode 56 as well, but I'll say it today. So
yeah, this category was commented on by Naeem Zafar, Andrew Blake, Taylor Sumption. That was a fun summer fun episode, learning about how he's recovered from his accident. Dan, the Iowa dairy farmer, big TikTok guy. Obviously, a lot of people thought that hard work and dedication were key to the characteristics of the most successful people. And that kind of brings us to one of the last two categories. And obviously, this is going to be my favorite because it is financial savvy and treating the farm like a business. I don't want to bore everybody. I don't want to bore everybody. But
that 15-second skip, hit it like 10 times.
Put her in two speed. Put her in two speed. You'll be all right.
But clearly, it's important. And, you know, identifying the stuff that you need to spend more time working on. Your versatility. Understanding if you don't know what it is, find someone else to do it. Know your data. Have attention to details, not like Dave. Risk management. Be clear and honest with your financials. Actually, I like that one. I'm going to pause on Laura Carlson's about being open or being clear and honest. Because you can lie to yourself. You can tell yourself things are better than what they are. Sammy?
It's a big one for me this year. Royce Johns threw out Back Pocket Brewing there. Royce Johns, he's a singer, sings the old Johnny Cash stuff. That wasn't a squirrel, I was just telling you. So he said, know your definition of success. You talked about what your definition of success might be, Rob, after 40 years in it, and you thought, this is what I want to do. Man, that's a good one there.
Yeah. The last one before we skip right on by this category that is not any less important, just maybe a little bit more boring, came from Jamie Pollard. And that is probably one of our episodes, episode 25, that isn't downloaded enough. So if you're looking for a good show, he did a great job.
Good job.
Uh-huh.
Good you job like of putting that one in there. Yep. Yeah. That's experience right there.
Underrated. But Jamie right now is battling cancer, so he stepped down from his athletics director role at Iowa State. And he said, build a successful culture, have heart, and be motivated, trust, and listen. Well, it's exactly what's happening at Iowa State University right now. He's brought in a lot of great coaches, and now he's stepping away. He's going to take care of some personal things in his life, and I don't see the college athletics program slowing down because it's a culture that he himself has built up. I know he wasn't talking about himself when he said this, but I think he's exemplifying.
And I think he's learned it, you know, to communicate, empower those that work with you and alongside you. And I think that's why they've been so successful. Even if, I don't know if somebody said it here, but somebody said, when you can run your business and go on vacation and your business still runs, that's awesome. And I think of all the small business owners I know, my wife and I included, and think, can we go on vacation or would our business still run? Ooh.
Yeah.
But he said, build the team.
Yeah. I would, even search out to see if I could find an athletics director for a college in Illinois, but do they even have college sports in Illinois?
Oh, my.
What the hell is that about?
Wow.
Wow.
Shots fired.
Here we go.
Okay. Well, 46 minutes in. Here we go.
Keep her going, banker.
Before you skip over this boring category, Tanner, I want to throw you a bone here and say Seth Davis from our partner Gearinghoff said be able to crunch the numbers. And we lean pretty hard on you, be able to run a spreadsheet and all that. It is nice not having to do that. So thank you.
It's a team part. Yep. That wasn't necessarily in there.
It's in there. It's right there.
Oh, I like that.
It's right there. It's right
there. Try to skate by. But no, this kind of rolls into the last one that I put. And I put it last because I don't know if a lot of our listeners are going to like it. Because I would argue that the majority of the people that have reached out to us are maybe a little bit more conservative in their thinking, but they're listening to this podcast to try and learn more, to try and broaden their horizon, and then hopefully be entertained a little bit as well. But it's taking chances and trusting your gut. And Emily, I want to hear, when Rob shared his idea of wanting to do this, were you on board right away?
That answers that question. Thank you, Emily.
Wow, he's laughing so hard.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, this is so funny. When this first started, I thought this was going to be like a hobby. And so we were so busy. I mean, we had so many kids and little kids, and life was just busy. So when he first said it, I can't say that I really even gave it any thought. He's like, I'm going to do this. And he bought the snowball microphone, and he like set up this little corner of our bedroom and like put up like stuff to like, help the sound be better and all this stuff. And he'd go up there for like an hour at a time and talk into this microphone. And I didn't think that much of it. Like I thought, okay, I mean, this is just like going to be a hobby thing. But then as, he first started interviewing, and I realized that as the emails started coming in and people started commenting about what it meant to them or how he hit the nail on the head on something that resonated with them, then I realized, oh my gosh, okay, like this is making a bigger difference than anything that we're doing. And once I saw that, I was on board. I'm like, okay, let's do this thing. And he had me, and that's it. So
that's sweet.
Yeah.
So
I was not on board at
first.
We've
had two fights in our lives, which you would definitely describe as a fight, right?
We don't fight.
We were pissed at each other.
Yeah.
This was one of them. It was about whether to not let people cuss on our podcast.
Well, the whole podcast thing when we started was new. And so he was interviewing people and they were just saying whatever they wanted. And you were going down any little rabbit trail you wanted, and it made me really nervous. Mm-hmm. And so I think we probably helped each other out in that way. Like, okay, he was willing to push the card and talk about all the really hard things no one else would talk about. which I think made him successful. So that's awesome. Like, I'm glad he pushed me in that way, because I don't even know if I was willing to do that as much as he was. But then I think I also was kind of like the yang to your yin, or however you say that.
You damn right, baby.
I think we got a new one.
Yeah.
I think we have a new what the most successful people have in common. They probably all have a spouse that helps them out, a partner, a spouse. I can contest to that. Sounds like you guys can contest to that. Yeah. I don't think anybody gave that answer, Tanner.
No. But I do like where you're going with that is you might not have been all on board to begin with. But once you saw signs of it, you were all in. You did. You took that leap of faith with him, with Rob. You know, obviously, he was crazy enough to have the idea to begin with. But you haven't, it appears, from the outsider looking in, the two of you haven't slowed down. Like, it's, if there's an opportunity, you're going to take the jump. Right, Rob?
So far, that's what we've done. I hope we can keep doing it.
He's always coming up with some new creative idea, something he wants to do, and we just got to figure out how to do it. So, yeah, I think definitely we kind of play off each other. I reel him in a little bit, and then he goes and has another great idea, and we do that. And, yeah, I think we definitely work well together.
Sounds just like what Dallas Welp said. Desire to stay up on trends. So that means make sure you listen to the Farm for Profit podcast or Shark Farmer podcast. Of course. I mean, that just pretty much ends this episode. So, yeah, that was like one of the best ever. Yeah. But you guys sound like you're doing that too. He stays up creatively. You stay up business-wise. My wife as well. I'm big picture. She's attention to details. So, yeah, stay up on trends.
Yeah. Mark Thomas said, can face the negatives of every day to learn from them, adapt, and then move forward. Because I'm sure that not everything's ran smoothly in everybody's businesses and on their farms. But just having that survival instinct, like Lauren said, you have no other option sometime but to just do it. Just to go.
I like Huey B. Cools says, risk takers. Just pretty much that. Dave, you'll like this. One of the largest landowners in Iowa told me one time that, you know, when he bought a ground, it didn't pencil out. If it penciled, everyone would do it, right? But now he's one of the largest ones, you know, betting on himself, taking risks.
That was a fun story. I don't know if you guys have met or heard Huey's story, but his family moved their dairy over from the Netherlands to Iowa. So sold everything in the Netherlands, came over, rebought, and set up shop here, and are running a successful dairy.
But now he's not with the dairy, and he's growing lettuce vertically.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah, I see him going farther than that.
Oh, he is. They were raising crickets.
He'll be one to watch.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Don't be afraid to go for it. Now we're going to try and summarize a little bit of what we all covered, but I want to go back to the very first show that Dave and I did. So that was from June 27th of 2019, and we actually labeled that episode Traits of the Top Performing Farmers. So before we had talked to all these people, we had put together our own list, and to kind of go across what we had put down is, they have a plan or a budget in place. They know the cost of production and their break-even. They have an advisory team that might consist of a CPA, agronomist, banker, livestock manager, farm manager, attorney, so on and so forth. They have two ears. This came out of Dave's mouth. Have two ears and one mouth. So listen more than you speak. Be proactive, not reactive. Test theories and techniques on technology. Ask questions. Surround yourself with those that have the knowledge that you need. Don't spend the money that you don't have. Be progressive and look forward. So that was what we said in our very first show. It was pretty close.
Don't spend the money you don't have. You're a banker.
I was going to say, that's what I disagree with.
Yeah, you make your money on people leveraging.
I didn't say they were all right. I was telling you what we said in our first show. But this has been a good one. I will put everything in the show notes. We don't normally have show notes this long, but you will have Mama Lynn's entire list in the show notes for you to reference. We will also probably put this up on a PDF on our website. But most of all, I want to thank Rob and Emily and Sammy for sitting in on us today. And we've got a new question. Since this is the last show of 2021, we're going to do this again. I don't know why I'm making another resolution like this. We're going to do this again in 2022. So, Corey, what is the question we think we're going to move forward with, unless someone tells us not to?
What do you know now that you wished you would have known when you were younger or just sooner in general?
So be thinking about that. But before, please, if someone doesn't know how to find you guys and your content, where do they go to find the podcast, the show, and everything that you do?
Everything is at sharkfarmer.com.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Perfect. And you're doing a podcast, a radio show, and two TV shows?
Yeah, we got two podcasts, two XM shows, two television shows.
Perfect.
Yep.
Awesome. And they drove all the way to Iowa. This is in studio, thanks to Sammy. Yeah. Being super fan, Sammy.
Sammy's always worth the drive.
So how do people find you, Sammy?
Just look on Twitter for Rob. I'm probably picking on him, making fun of him.
Well played.
That's what I do with my life.
What question are we going to ask Rob, the shark farmer here? Is it going to be 2021 or 2022?
I like where you're going with this, Dave. Rob gets to answer two questions.
There you go.
Or do we split it up? One for Rob and one for Emily.
We could do that. Since she's the business, you probably better ask her the first one.
Okay.
And then ask him the second one. She'll be the 2021.
So the most successful people that you know, if there's something we came across today or you've got something different, what do they all have in common? And Rob, what do you know now that you wish you'd have known sooner?
And Rob can be the most successful person, you
and
know,
Sammy,
if you want.
Sammy, you can say whatever you want to say.
I always do.
But whenever you're ready, go right ahead.
Oh, wow. I think I'd probably have to say, you know, like trying to be the dumbest person in the room. Always surrounding yourself with people who know so much and that inspire you and are pushing you. And don't spend any time with people who are the naysayers. People that have either been in your life a long time and just don't understand where you're going, or people that are new that are just like, why are you even trying this? Why are you being stupid? This is a dumb idea. It's like, no, surround yourself with good people. And
I think you did that today. I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely.
Well, Sammy's here.
That's just because he wants a place to sleep at tonight. It's cold outside.
I like it.
I've had some pretty tough and awkward conversations with some longtime friends that were just negative to things. And it's just like, you know what? I just need to separate myself.
Then
you
met me. There was nothing but energy, and it was boom.
It's a hard move, though, when they've been your friend your whole life.
Yep.
And you've grown up together.
And it's not like you want to drop them off, but it's like, hey, dude, I just got to kind of separate. Yeah. You know, I don't need that kind of negativity because it drags me down. And then I'm not creative. And
It's not just you that it's taken down. It's taken down your family, too.
Yep. Yep.
So, Rob, you've moved from farmer to social media to podcast to maybe even TV star. What is something you know now in your later years that you think you might wish?
Later years.
Later years.
We're older than all you guys between me and him probably, so we're all right.
I think we talked about it earlier, trying to categorize yourself, being too much of a critic on yourself. Emily, I was thinking about the interview we just did yesterday with Jess Norman, who had a TikTok that I think hit 1.7 million. And she was focused on the 6 negative comments out of that. So there was thousands of good comments. So I think that, you know, being someone that didn't get good grades, someone that focused on what society thought was important and not focusing on what I did really well. You know, there's a lot of times I've been laughed at in my life as with farm organizations, with everything, ideas that I had that were... I think good ideas, but were not being done at the time. And I think if I would have just had the confidence to go ahead and push that agenda instead of backing off as soon as I was getting some, you know, negative feedback, I think I'd be a lot farther. So that, and I should have bought ground a lot earlier.
Always comes back to farm.
It does. But I can't say thank you enough. I know the guys also would echo the same thing. It's been a real pleasure having you here in Huxley in studio. I can't wait to turn the mics off and pick your brain just to get to know you guys even better. So thank you for joining us on the Farm for Profit podcast. Listeners, thank you for joining us throughout this 2.5 years. Continue to send us those ideas for shows.
Whoa. Ooh. Whoa.
Oh, no, I did the whoa.
I like this.
Let's not just skip over that. 2.5 years is an incredible effort. It's an incredible accomplishment. It is not something that should just be slided over like you just did. So a big congratulations to all you guys for what you're building here. It's not just a podcast. I can tell you guys are also into the community effort. Mm-hmm. You can tell that with your actions and what you do. So from Emily and me and Sammy too. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, and I think a lot of that, as I'm good at deflecting, goes to our listeners, because we wouldn't be here without them. That's the truth. You know, it's a lot of their suggestions. It's a lot of the interaction on social media that continues to power it forward and give us the content. So listeners, thank you. And congratulations to you for sticking around for 2.5 years.
Thanks.
You should name them personally now.
thanks to all the people that volunteered to come on the podcast or asked and did as well. Yep. Without the content, we wouldn't have anything for the listeners. And of course, partners are great too. But yep. I enjoy definitely the people we get to interview, like yep. yourself. So
that's great. Well, thanks again, listeners. And until next time, we hope you have a good one.
Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long.